I had never heard a real explosion before. It was September 25th, 1978. I was in sixth grade. I was sitting in class, doing math, sitting next to Sandra Vandenacker. I didn't like math, but I liked sitting next to Sandy because she smelled vaguely of coconut. When the explosion hit, the entire school trembled, and there was a sound as loud as thunder. It was so loud, and the school shook so much that a couple of kids actually bounced out of their seats. It was San Diego, California, and even though we were in sixth grade, we knew what an earthquake sounded like, and this was not it. What had just happened? We turned to my teacher, Mr. McCullen, my sixth grade teacher, who had also been my fifth grade teacher, and I knew him well enough to know that he had earned two Purple Hearts in the Second World War and was cool in a crisis. He didn't look anxious. He didn't look worried. He did what Mr. McCullen always did. He made a corny joke. And he just said, "Don't worry, somebody next door just dropped their pencil." And we laughed nervously, not because we believed him or because it was particularly funny, but we knew that if Mr. McCullen isn't rattled, then we're probably going to be okay. And at that moment, Mrs. Lee, the teacher from across the hall, raced into our classroom and announced to all of us, "I just saw a plane crash." And we got up and we moved into her classroom and looked out the window, and the only thing we could see in the window from one end of the class all the way over to the other was a pillar of black smoke. We'd find out later that it was a mushroom cloud, but we were too close. We couldn't see the mushroom cloud. We could just see the black smoke. PSA Flight 182 had collided with a Cessna in the skies over San Diego and came crashing down to the earth, four blocks from my elementary school. Walking home that afternoon, I was in a daze. The entire neighborhood was in a daze. You could still see the black smoke. You could smell something that smelled like burning metal, burning plastic, and something else. Later, we'd hear stories of people finding bits of airplane on their roofs, body parts in their backyard. I got home. My mom wasn't there, which was weird. She was always there when I got home. It was just me and the cat. I couldn't find her. So I called a couple of her friends trying to locate her, and I found her at her friend Elsie's. And she's told me that it was just too much being there alone, what had happened that day. And did I mind being there on my own for a little while until she got back? I didn't know what else to say, so I said, "Sure." And then I tried to reach my father at his apartment, but there was no answer. So I just stood there in the living room, not sure what to do, not sure what room to, if I should go into another room even. And then Guy Valencik and Mike Snyder showed up with their gloves and balls and said, "Come on, let's go play double plays." And we did that because what else was there to do? And we played ball together in front of Guy's house, mostly silent, until people started showing up, slowing their cars down to lean out their windows and ask us, "Hey, can you direct me to the plane crash site?" And we got pissed off because these people were coming into our neighborhood and basically wanted to be voyeurs to our neighborhood's grief and pain. So we started to lie to them, give them false directions. And we did that for a while, and then we didn't know what else to do, so we went back to our homes. And it was dinner time, and my mom still wasn't there. So I called my dad. I knew he'd be at work. And he said, "Do you have anything to eat?" And I said, "Well, I do, but I don't know how to cook it, and I'm afraid to try." He told me, "I'll try to get off early tonight." Early for my dad turned out to be 11 o'clock. And so there we were at 11:30 in a fast food restaurant on a school night as I was 11 years old. And I had a huge chocolate shake and a big hamburger with two patties and a huge plate of fries. Food my father would never let me eat on a normal day. And we talked. We talked about baseball, we talked about movies, we talked about Sandy Vandenacker and why she smelled vaguely like coconut. Anything but the Leviathan that had fallen from the sky that morning. A few months later, I'm at my dad's apartment, we're watching TV, we get a news report that they found the black box from the cockpit, and they played part of the recording on that news report. I don't remember most of it, but I do remember this. This pilot, who was inverted, one of his wings was on fire, moments from his imminent death. And this is what he said in as calm a voice as he probably used to order his breakfast from the flight attendant an hour before. He said, "That's a school. I'm going to try to get us to the freeway. I am not letting this come down on top of a school." I shut off the television. I turned to my father and said, "Can we go get some ice cream, please?"